Welcome to the Seeking Contentment for the Christian Woman podcast. My name is Nicole, and this is my version of a front porch where we sip good coffee that probably has too much creamer and go deep on the things that grow your faith and help you rediscover joy in your life and your marriage. If you find yourself feeling discontent or restless in your life, you are in the right place. If you're bored with the mundane day-to-day or feel like you're losing yourself while taking care of your family, I completely get it. I was you. Then several years ago, the Lord took me on a journey of finding my identity and purpose in Him, and it changed everything. If you're ready to go deep on mindset, identity, faith, and marriage, you're in the right place. Let's ditch that feeling of discontentment. You matter, your life matters, and your day-to-day matters. A fulfilling life is possible, and it's possible for you. Let's do this. Hey everyone, today we are going to talk about three ways to become emotionally invincible. You may be wondering what that is. So emotional invincibility means that you are able to release any negative emotions that have ever held you back. The Bible talks about taking our thoughts captive, and I believe the three tips that I'm going to share with you today are a practical way to do this. I'm also going to be digging deeper into this subject on Thursday, and that will be with five ways to combat anxiety. So definitely come back for that one. But today we're going to discuss what to do when you are in the thick of it. When you have a choice to make about how you're going to respond in a bad situation. What you think matters to God. He made your mind, and He wants you to think thoughts that lead you toward life and peace, not toward fear or anxiety. He also wants you to set your mind on the things above, like it says in Colossians 3:2, and to choose to trust anything that happens in your life is not out of His zone of knowledge. You can trust Him to work all things for good to those who are called according to His purpose. And that's obviously from Romans 8:28. So before we get into what I have for you today, I just want to say welcome to anyone who is new here. I'm so blessed that you're here. And if you're not new here, welcome back. I'm also blessed to have you come back. So the tips that I'm sharing will be from the book by Hal Elrod, and it's called The Miracle Equation. And when I first read these tips, they sounded really familiar to me, like kind of like he had taken the words right out of my mind and put them down on paper. I tend to be a person that's very black and white. I tend to look for the good in all situations and choose to not dwell on things that I can't change. I didn't used to be this way, but thankfully the Lord has worked in my heart and my mind extensively over the last several years. And now I can say that I normally tend to look for the good in things. So as I read this book, I started to realize that I had followed these tips without even realizing that that's what I had done. So to see it written out was really exciting. And it's now something that I can pass on to others with the hope of helping them move through hard times as well. So the first part that I'd like to share sort of sets the stage, and it's called taking responsibility for our negative emotions. And so this is what he says. I know that this is going to sound harsh, but I just have to get it out there. Every painful emotion that you have ever felt, are feeling now, and will ever feel in the future was, is, and will be self-created by you, and it is completely optional. I am talking about every painful or even unpleasant emotion that causes you any level of internal struggle. What if I also told you that you have the power to release all your emotional pain from the past and present and to stop creating it in the future? In other words, you have the power to stop self-creating negative emotions and live free from emotional pain starting today and for the rest of your life. That is what it means to become emotionally invincible. Now let's get one thing straight. You don't have to be happy about the circumstance, but you can be at peace with the circumstance, and there is a huge difference. So this is kind of what I went through when I lost my first husband. So the day that he died, I had this incredible sense of peace. And I have talked before that I kind of felt like somehow I knew that it was coming. I knew that something was going to happen. And the day that it happened, I just kind of had the thoughts like, well, it's here. Now what? Like, I knew this was coming. Now what do I do? And I was not happy about it by any means. And I'm not trying to portray myself as being happy, but I was at peace. I did feel prepared, and I did feel that that the Lord would take me through it. And so I wasn't happy about the circumstance, but I had accepted it, and I was at peace with it. And so that's a big difference, that you can be at peace and accept something, but not necessarily be happy about it, because clearly, you know, that's not something that you're happy about. And so I also wanted to read you another story that kind of goes along those lines as well. And this is actually directly out of the book, but it's kind of along the same things of what happened when I lost Chad, is this girl had lost her father. So I will just read that real quick to you, and then we can talk about it. So this is called Acceptance in Action. When I began my speaking career, I spoke primarily on college campuses. 2 weeks after giving a speech in Toronto, Canada, I received an email from Devin Taylor, a 27-year-old woman who had attended my presentation. Attached to the email was a photo of her wrist displaying a tattoo that she had gotten of just three words. The three words I had taught in my speech, and they were, "Can't change it." Reading her email brought me to tears and further opened my eyes to the universal power of acceptance. She had gotten the tattoo that day because it was the 10th anniversary of her father's death. To paraphrase, she told me that she had spent the 10 years since her father's death deeply depressed, in and out of therapy, and on antidepressants. She had been living under the impression that she was depressed because her father had died, and everyone in her life had reinforced that belief. Sentiments such as, "You poor thing, I can't imagine how you feel," had led her to believe that she was supposed to feel that way even years after her father had passed. In her email, she went on to explain that when she heard me talk about acceptance, the 5-minute rule, and the "can't change it" mantra, she started to consider that maybe the cause of her depression wasn't her father's death. Instead, maybe the reason she had been deeply depressed for 10 years was that she had constantly resisted the reality of his being gone. No one had ever told her that she could consciously choose to accept that her father had died, stop resisting reality by wishing it hadn't happened, and give herself peace. She said that the previous 2 weeks after hearing my speech had been the first time in nearly 10 years that she hadn't been depressed, and that every time she had started to feel those familiar, painful emotions overtaking her, she had paused, taken a deep breath, and uttered the words, "Can't change it," and chosen peace instead. She had decided that to get a "can't change it" tattoo as a permanent reminder that she would no longer allow the memory of her dad to cause her pain. Instead, she consciously chose to replace the emotional pain with a deep sense of gratitude for the time she did have with her dad. So when you accept every unknown that could one day happen to you, that allows you to release all that fear, anxiety, worry, and other forms of emotional pain that can be completely unnecessary. And this is what happened when I completely surrendered my life to the Lord before Chad passed away. I had accepted that God was in control, that He wanted what was best for me, that He knows everything that I don't, and that He is the one that controls my days. And I completely trusted Him no matter what. He would never leave me. He would take care of me. My needs would be met. And it was life-changing to accept life before it happened. I stopped worrying about my husband. I stopped worrying about our finances, which were pretty much non-existent. I stopped worrying about our children, and I was absolutely at peace and content that God had me no matter what. And so I want to get into the three steps of emotional invincibility. The first one is to accept life before it happens, which is what we just talked about. The Bible tells us that we are going to have things that happen, that bad things are going to happen, and yet when they happen, we're still surprised. Like, we just stand stunned and question, you know, where God is, or how He could let this thing happen, or maybe just simply why. And obviously that could be an episode all in itself, but regardless of what questions may come up, if you have accepted ahead of time that hard things are going to happen in this life, then you aren't as shocked when they do. I mean, you may initially be shocked, obviously, but you don't have to stay in that place of why me, and why is this happening, and why is God allowing this? you're ready to tackle them instead of just staying there stuck. The second step of emotional invincibility is something that Hale calls in the book the 5-minute rule. So this means that you take 5 minutes and you actually feel your emotions. So you feel them fully. You can kick, scream, cry, yell, complain, whatever it is that you need to do to feel those big emotions. And then when the timer goes off, you say these words, "Can't change it." And that is actually step number 3, is saying the words "can't change it." You have to remind yourself that you cannot change anything that has already occurred. It doesn't matter if it happened 5 minutes ago, maybe it happened 5 months ago, or it could even be 5 decades ago, but you cannot change it if it's already happened. So there's no value in wishing that you could. You cannot undo the past, and you have to understand that if you can't change a situation, continuing to resist it is only going to generate more unnecessary emotional pain. So I tend to be a tough love person, so a lot of you may disagree with me on this, but there's a lot of things that Hal had gone through that he shares in this book. One was a car accident that he should have died in. One is being diagnosed with cancer that for the most part is terminal that he survived and is cured of. And so having people that have lived this tell you that this is possible, like I said, it may sound like it's tough love, or you may think I just can't do that, but I do want to make the statement that you have the power to stop the pain or to never feel it in the first place. And like I said, I know that that's a big statement to make. I know that obviously you don't get over the death of a loved one, you know, in 5 minutes. But to start practicing these steps, if you start practicing them now on stuff that's little, when stuff happens that's bigger, you've already kind of established that practice, so it makes it easier. This is really kind of what happened when Chad passed away. You know, I felt like I knew it was coming, and then it happened, and obviously I was sad, like I said before, but it was like immediate acceptance, like he's not coming back. Like, he's gone, and I have to do this. You know, I have to parent these kids, and I have to figure out what I'm doing with schooling, and am I going back to work? And there was all these questions. But I could have chose to crawl into bed and never come out, or I could accept that he was gone and that I was still here for a reason, and I still had a purpose in this life, and my kids still needed me, and that I needed to press on. And by the grace of God, that is what I did. But so many people don't. But you do have the power to make that choice. And so, like I said, obviously these steps are going to take practice. And if it's something that's super tragic, you may even have to do your 5 minutes of feeling your emotions over and over and over. Or maybe you don't start with 5 minutes, you know, maybe you start with a half an hour or whatever it is. But taking the time and then choosing to see the good in the situation, or what good could come out of the situation, will change everything. For me, it was focusing in on gratitude for the time that we shared, and gratitude for the 4 little girls that he had given me. And, you know, even the pain that I felt, I would not change anything. So being so thankful for that time that God allowed us to have together, it took the sting out a little bit, because I wouldn't change it. I couldn't change that he was gone. And even if I could go back and change not being with him, I wouldn't have done that anyway. So it just changes your outlook and kind of reframes your thinking around those things. So if you are stuck in emotions and can't seem to break free, I would love for you to sit with the following questions. Jot them down, pause me and go do it. You know, whatever works for you. But if you feel like you're stuck in some big emotions, I would love for you to go through these questions that I'm going to ask you. The first one is, what is causing your pain? What is causing those emotions to come out? Number 2, how would accepting everything that's ever happened or will ever happen to you change your life? And number 3, how much more energy do you think you'll have in the absence of stress, anger, sadness, or any other prolonged negative emotions. Now take a deep breath and make the conscious choice to accept life conditionally, to be at peace with it, and to give yourself the gift of becoming emotionally invincible. I hope this was a blessing to you today. Like I said, I know I do a little bit of tough love and tend to be a little bit black and white, which can sometimes come off as not being caring, but that's the farthest thing from the truth. I just truly want you to be able to, take these episodes and apply them to your life, and hopefully that makes your life better. So I will chat with you guys again on Thursday. Bye, everybody. If this episode challenged or blessed you in some way, I would love it if you would share it, subscribe, or leave a review. It only takes a few minutes, and it helps to get my show out to others who may need it. You can connect with me on Facebook by joining my free group. Go to Seeking Contentment Community and just hit join. I feel truly blessed to have you here today. Praying for you daily, Nicole.